Join us in worshiping before Brother Barry comes. So I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus. So goodbye, world. I say so long to you, and goodbye, pleasures of sin. I say so long to you. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. So goodbye world, I say so long to you. Goodbye pleasures of sin, I say so long to you. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. So goodbye world, I say so long to you. Goodbye pleasures of sin, I say so long to you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Man, let's put it in F. We're going to try this one. Have not done this in a long time, I don't think. Yeah, that's it. So I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I wandered aimless, but filled with sin. Praise the Lord, I saw the light, and I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more. Time. And I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, and I shall not be moved. And I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be. Oh, Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In his love and favor I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. No, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In his love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Oh, and I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. So glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. I'm anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be. One more time. Oh, and I shall not be, I shall not be moved. No, I shall not be, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be. So the church is going higher than it's been before, marching on to Zion, there to live forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintances who've gone before. The church is going higher than it's been before. Sing it again. Oh, the church is going higher than it's been before, marching on to Zion, there to live forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintances we've known before. The church is going higher than it's been before. So I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. So the church is going higher than it's been before, marching on to Zion, there to live forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintances we've known before. The church is going higher than it's been before. Come on now. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, though I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. If by his grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. So I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, though I was born, I had a new birth. Gonna sail away. By his grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. So the church is going higher than it's been before. We're marching on to Zion, there to live forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintances we've known before. The church is going higher than it's been before. So I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join. Though I was born, I had a neighbor. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, though I was born, I had a neighbor. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. So now I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Oh, and I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by I'll fly away. And some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Of this life have grown, and like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. So now I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. I'll not die. Oh, hallelujah, by and by I'll fly away. I like this. Now just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. So just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. So now I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Die, oh hallelujah, by and by I'll fly away. So now I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. And I'll not die, oh hallelujah, by and by I'll fly away.
Glad for that. We just have a few more days. It's a few more weary days. You can see it all over. It's getting close. And I'm glad. I'm ready to get out of here. But we'll go ahead and change the order of our service. Let's sing that song, They That Wait Upon the Lord, before we take our prayer requests. So they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
So teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. So teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. So they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall teach me, Lord, to wait. So teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Help me humble my pride and call faith renewed and keep my eyes on Thee. Help me be on this earth what You want me to be. And they that wait upon the Lord shall up with wings as an eagle, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord.
Continue to play that softly there, sister. We'll go ahead and change the order of our service and take these needs for the Lord. And if I could ask Brother Wellington to come up, pray over these prayer requests, and also have the ushers go ahead and come forward. We'll take up our tithes and offering as well after we give the prayer requests. We just want to remember our Brother Joe Drum, who is sick, is not able to be with us. Also, Sister Lily, Sister Emma, and Sister Laura Harwell are away. So we just want to remember them. Just remember Brother Peter, Brother Lucas, Brother Jeremy, and Chris. They're also traveling, so just keep them in your prayers. The Ivies are away in France, so we just want to remember them. And also Brother Aaron is in Africa still, so we just want to remember him. We want to remember the Britons who are away for their anniversary, so just remember them as well. Just want to remember Sister Leah Mail's sisters, Hannah and Hope. Both are receiving treatments related to some issues with cancer, so just remember that need. We want to remember Sister Angie's brother, who has surgery tomorrow, so we just want to remember that. And also remember Brother Bill Walters. His father passed away, so we just want to remember that need, that the Lord would go to them. And also, just an unspoken prayer request for Sister Amber McCall. So I just remember that need. And I know we all have our own unspoken prayer requests, so just hold that close to your heart today as we go to the Lord in prayer.
Let us bow our heads and our hearts before our Almighty God. Our gracious Lord and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace you have given us upon this day, Lord, that we gather in this place where you have chosen to put your holy name, Father. You said to us, Lord, when we gather in that place, you will meet us, Lord, and you will attend to every situation, Father. We are gathered here, Lord God Almighty, to give you honor, glory, and praise. And at the same time, Lord God Almighty, we're coming before you with our burdens and the requests that have been laid before you, Father. We've got multitude and multitude of thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, that we pour out this morning before your altar. And Lord God Almighty, we also lay these requests before you, Father. We've got many of our brethren, your beloved children, who are not here with us, on different places, different missions, Lord. We commit them into your holy hands, Lord, that your grace might be upon them, Father. Lord, we've got some, Lord, Father God, in depressing situations, Lord. They and us are all looking up to you, Father. We pray that you be with each and every one of them, Lord. Those that are sick, may you touch them, dear Heavenly Father. And for us to be in this house, Lord, we are admitting that, Lord, we are sick in one way or another, Father. And we are here because, Lord, we know this is the balm of Gilead, Father. May you touch each and every one of us in our situation and circumstance, dear Heavenly Father. We commit this service into your holy hands, Lord. As the minister stands before us, Lord, may the Holy Ghost take over, Father, and address each and every situation in our lives, dear Heavenly Father. We have needs, oh Father, financially, materially, naturally, physically, Lord. May you speak to our hearts this day, dear Heavenly Father. As, Lord, we were singing that the day is approaching, Father, Lord, just a few more weary days to labor and wait. May you strengthen our hearts forward, dear Heavenly Father. May you help us redeem that time, dear Lord Jesus Christ, and be drawn away from the things of this world, Lord, and drawn closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us, Father. We pray also, Father God, for services going forth in the bright, Lord, around the world, that the Holy Ghost will, Lord, Father God, minister to your children, Father. Bless our song worship, Lord, as we lift the voices you gave us to praise you, Father. We commit all these and all those that we did not mention, Lord, Father God, before you into your holy hands. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. As they pass by, you may have your seats. Keep it in the same key there, sister. I apologize. I wrote G down, but we'll keep it in F. We'll have you take your seats for a moment. Like I said, we want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. If you're streaming, we hope you're able to allow the Spirit to come in and just create an atmosphere with you. Want to welcome especially Brother David and Sister Deborah Rosetta and their son Ben. So we just want to welcome you. And if you can, after service, just find them and shake their hand. So I forgot to mention one prayer request. I didn't have it wrote down, and I meant to. But just remember Ashley and Tyler. They woke up this morning to find that they had a pretty bad leak in their apartment. So just remember them. They've been having some issues with that lately. But we'll just sing a couple songs here before Brother Barry comes this morning. Let's sing that song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again.
Stand on your word, Holy Spirit.
again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Just rain down. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, just rain down.
Just sing it one more time.
So Holy Spirit, rain down. Would you again, Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain down. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down.
Amen. Put it in C.
So no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one else could care for me like Him. And no one else could take my sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me.
Just sing that again.
So no one ever cared for me like as He. hearted, He's my Lord. Just stand and sing it now as Brother Barry comes. And He's my Lord. There is no
pray with you this morning as we begin, and that's a nice first thing to do. And I'd like to just say that, you know, your prayers matter, and you should never think they don't. They do, because Brother Branham taught us, he said that God hears and answers prayer, and prayer changes things. We just got a report from Ethan and Anna that Wells went to the doctor this week. He's going beyond their expectations. Amen. And he's on the right percentile of what he's supposed to be on. And I mean, he's just doing great. And he gave me a high five this morning when I came in. And I'll tell you what, every time I see him, I look at him as a miracle. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have you to turn to, Lord. You're a God who cares about everything that we face. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray now today you take every spirit, including my own, under your control for the glory of God. And Lord, may your presence be very real here today. Minister, Lord, to every heart, I pray. Forgive us, Lord, for anything that might be contrary to the moving of the Holy Spirit today as we enter into this portion of the Word. And I pray that you would just come, Lord, and just speak to every heart. Make it personal, make it real. And Lord, take complete control, we pray. We ask that because we don't want this to be under our control. But we want you, Lord, to have the final say. And Lord, you be the teacher today and you be the inspiration in every heart. And we'll commit our every need to you. We have many needs. And I believe, Lord, we'll always have many needs. But we also want to say thank you, Lord, for the way you've answered prayer. We want to say thank you, Lord, because you do hear us. And we know you're attentive to the things we go through. So, Lord, have your way again, we pray today, and minister to those who are not here and those who are needy, need your help and need your touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. You can be seated just for a moment here because I want to just take just a moment. Not going to be long. I'm not going to prolong things here. That'll be fine, musicians. And we have a couple of birthdays that we want to announce because that's what we do. Good to have all of you here today, all of our guests and visitors, and we appreciate you all being here. I don't want to start mentioning names because I'll miss folks, and I don't want to do that. But we appreciate all of you being here. June 25th, Jedediah's birthday, and this will be one, right? Yes. He's waving his hand down there, 1 year old. Best year of his life, he told me. Kylie James also has a birthday, right? and happy birthday. June 20, it's hard to believe that we're actually announcing things for the end of June already. Here we are heading into July. June 28th was Ava Brown's birthday. Ava, how old were you on your birthday? Well, how much?
9 years
old. June 30th was Heidi Ashdown's birthday, right? Heidi, God bless you. We also have June 30th was Rafaro's birthday. And I don't know if Sister Trish is here or not, but we wish her a happy birthday. July 1st is Arne Cross's birthday. They're not here yet. And also Henson Florian's birthday. Hence, how old is Henson going to be on his birthday? 2 years old for Henson. God bless you. July 1st is Sam and Nadia Britton's 25th wedding anniversary. They're not here this weekend. They're away celebrating their anniversary up in the mountains, and so we wish them a very happy anniversary. July 3rd is Peter Coffey's birthday, Anna Pritchard's birthday, and Ruby Pugh's birthday, right? Where's Ruby? Is she here? She's somewhere. There she is. I see her. God bless you, Ruby. So we wish you all a happy birthday. And then also it's July 5th, Jason and Mary Elizabeth Ashdown's anniversary. Now, that's not the way it's written in the directory, but I just want to make sure we do things right here. Jason and Mary Elizabeth have their anniversary. How many years?
28.
28 years. Really? Wonderful. We appreciate the Ashdowns very much and are glad to that they are with us, and wish them a wonderful anniversary on the 5th. Now, we don't have enough bandwidth here this morning to tell you all the things that are taking place in the world and in the mission, on the mission field and on the mission scene. Vision books, there's just a number of things that are happening. I'm gonna take a service and bring you up to date here, and I'll let you know when we're going to do that because there's some exciting things that are developing. And Brother Aaron today has just finished up services in Arusha. He's preached 4 times there with Brother Elias and the assembly there. We were given funds by another church, and we matched those funds to buy Bibles for the believers who speak Swahili. So that's what Brother Aaron is doing here, is presenting Bibles to Brother Elias, and they take those and with their missionaries, and they spread them all over the country. And so it's a very, very efficient system of how we actually do Bibles. And we order them from the Bible societies in those countries. They deliver them right to the door of the church. And then they're distributed by missionaries and ministers who travel all over the country and all over the Swahili-speaking world. And so Brother Aaron is in the first third of his trip. He's in Tanzania. Then he's leaving and going to Ethiopia tomorrow. And then after that, he'll be in South Africa, and he'll also visit his parents as well. There, he's got an aunt who is not well, so he wanted to visit her in his travels as well. So his work is exciting there. But you know, this is I hate to use the word, but this is mission work, ordinary or typical. This is the work that we do on the mission field. And very often when God's in it and you're led to do something, there's often something over there waiting for you that you don't know about. And that purpose is revealed as you go along. And so yesterday he and I talked and he sent me a video. And this is Brother Bernard. And he is from Kigali, Rwanda. That's the capital of Rwanda. Now, if you look on the map over here on the right, you see on the right-hand side, the nation of Tanzania borders Rwanda. Very small country, just a little tiny small country. And below it here on the south side is Burundi, also another very small country. And we supply books and things in for the believers in Burundi. A lot of believers there, a lot of believers in Rwanda. And then Uganda on the top, Congo up there on the top left. Now, they have just had a president who was installed in the country there. And this brother wound up from Rwanda, and he came into Tanzania 2 weeks ago. And he was in service last Sunday with the believers there. And they were preaching in Swahili, and he doesn't know much Swahili. He followed along a little bit. And then he came back for the second week because he's doing work there in Arusha. And Aaron was preaching. And I will tell you, he was excited. He came to Aaron afterwards, and he pumped his hand. He said, it's so good to hear somebody preaching in English. He said, it's just been a blessing what you had to say and so forth. So Aaron got chatting with him, and he recorded his story. And I'll have that video available for you. He took one recording, and there was all kinds of background noise, so it wasn't very clear. But the president of that country recently sided with the World Council of Churches, and he told Aaron that they had just closed 1,000 churches in the country because they didn't meet up with the World Council standards. They did not have the right sanitation. They didn't have the right facilities in the church, and they didn't have the right license to operate. And so he sovereignly closed 1,000 churches down in like a day or two. Well, I did some digging there, and I found out it wasn't 1,000 churches. It was actually 5,000 churches that they closed. Not only independent churches like every message church in the country, but also like denominational churches that are independent, like Baptist churches and Pentecostal churches, closed them all down. And what they're wanting to do is to have them apply, put them all under the control of the government, and give the government money for them to open back up. So as a result, people like him are having house meetings and are going from house to house having meetings together. And he was trying to convince Aaron, come with me back to Rwanda. We'll bring you from house to house to house, you know. Now, you have to know Brother Aaron. That's something he'd love to do. And he told him, if I had time, I would definitely come and visit and, you know, travel around all your churches there. And they were looking for books in English. They were looking for ministers to come and so forth. It's a little risky to do that because they're shut down by the government and mandated to close. And so I told Aaron a way that we can help them in this situation. And so we're going to do what we can for the believers in Rwanda. But you remember them in prayer. So he's gathering all the information that he can and getting a good video interview from him and getting the story so that we can have believers pray, okay? But this is a serious situation. I will tell you that in the country of Uzbekistan, and it's a former Soviet republic, they just recently passed a law there in that country where anyone, any family who has children under 18 years old, they are forbidden by the law now to talk to their children in any way, shape, or form about any kind of religion whatsoever. It's against the law for any child to hear anything from their parents about religion. What they're trying to do is eliminate extreme religions and radical Islamic activity in the country. They're trying to eliminate that. So the way that they did it was they said, all right, all religions are going to fall under this new law. And so if a child goes to school and makes some sort of religious statement and they say, where'd you hear that? And they say, at home, they have the right now to take that child out of that home and put it in another home, and the parents do not have access to the child. And so obviously there are lots of believers in Uzbekistan, and you know, they're compromised in terms of you know, being able to talk and educate their children and to be able to share the gospel with them, even to pray with them. They're not allowed to do that. And so this is a you know, I think it's a result of a spirit that's creating pressure in different countries around the world, and we need to be praying for these brothers as well. Now, this morning, I asked Aaron, you know, he's keeping me posted with his pictures and things, and I asked him to make sure he sends me some. And in true HBT fashion, he sent me 12 pictures this morning, and every one of them were the church dinner. There's no people pictures, there's no, you know, spreading the gospel pictures, no missionary pictures. It's all about the dinner that they had. And I said, well, you're really a good representative of our church, you know that, over there. But I can tell you that there are some exciting things that are taking place, and we'll share some of that with you here as we go forward. But remember, Brother Aaron, he's got a pretty busy schedule. There's a lot of changes that are taking place in Ethiopia, and he's got one service there with the brethren, and he's got some work that he's doing for us over there, and we'll give you the update when he gets back. Let's stand to our feet. I'd like you to take your Bible, if you will, and we're going to go to 1 Samuel, and we're going to be in the 19th chapter here, 1 Samuel chapter 19. I hope you're ready for the word this morning, and I hope that hope and pray. Nope, we're going to go to 1 Samuel. Sorry, I have it covered up here. First Samuel chapter 27. First Samuel chapter 27. And we'll read the first couple of verses here. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And now David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. Gath. Anybody know who else came out of Gath? Goliath of Gath. So now David is actually retreating to the land of the Philistines and submitting himself to the king in Gath. Now, hold your marker there. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel, the 19th chapter, while you're there. Now, keep a marker in the 27, 28, 29 chapter there, 1 Samuel. We're going to go back to that. But this is when Saul and David are in conflict with one another, not because of anything that David has done. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants. So he's got the whole palace on notice here. Your number one job is to kill David. That's what he says. I want to tell you and all of the servants in this castle, the palace, that they should kill David. But Jonathan's son delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, watch his advice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Take heed to thyself. Hide thyself in the secret place. This is where David hears this phrase the first time, at least the first time it's recorded in Scripture, that he should flee, find a secret place, and hide there. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning and talk about that secret place. Now, I marvel sometimes, you know, at how sovereign God is. And I will tell you that whenever I go visit a church, and very often when I'm here and I'm waiting to come out, I listen for a couple of things, and I observe a couple of things whenever I travel and visit other churches. And one of the things that I listen for is the song leader, to see whether a song leader, without knowing what I'm going to be speaking about, what kind of songs they sing and what's the theme of their song service. And every song service has a theme. And, you know, to see how in harmony they are with the sermon that's coming. And I just appreciated Mitchell this morning, and the songs that he sang were all in line. And then I was listening to Brother Wellington pray, and he was talking about, he used the phrase, he said, Lord, may we run away from the world and run to God. And I thought, thank you, Lord, because that to me is a confirmation that we're on the right track. Now, I want to I want to just have your attention for a little bit here. Minimize your movements here as best you can, because we have a lot of folks here, and I just want you to lock in with me. We've had all week to do all kinds of things. We only have about an hour and a half or so here, and I want you just to lock in with me and follow this, because it's important that we listen to what God has to say. Sometimes he has something to say that's going to correct you a little bit and change you a little bit, but other times he wants to encourage you, and he wants to grab a hold of your heart and say, it's going to be okay, despite what it is you're going through. But I don't believe that Christians at all do we take the attitude that we can pick and choose what we like and discard the rest. One of the old ancient church fathers said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not his gospel you believe, but yourself. That's worth saying again. If you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but yourself. Christians, to me, are not interested in rejecting anything that God says or tossing it aside. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is our necessary meat. So I want to talk about this. I'm going to leave this title here, Walking in Agreement with God. I talked about this before I went away, one of the trips there. And I want you to just get the image in your mind that we know that faith comes by hearing, right? And in the end time, the important thing that happens is that there's a bride who accumulates rapturing faith to the point where our bodies won't be able to handle it, and we'll get out of here. I mean, common sense will tell you now that everyone in the world senses that there are things that are changing. They're changing in the political, economic arena. There are things that are taking place, culturally in the world. Everything is changing. There are things that are taking place in the Middle East. And the Middle East is always a focus of our attention because it is a focus of God's attention. And there are things that are happening there that ought to stir every one of us into a place of deep introspection and saying, is this a cycle that God is actually beginning prior to Armageddon? Because that's where it's all heading, right? In this world, it's heading to Armageddon. But remember, none of that can take place until the bride leaves here. So I believe the focus that God has is getting the bride ready to leave. And that's what this is about. So we want to pay attention to that. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you think about it, God is using the preaching of the Word, the ministry of the Word, and the message that God sent to us in this last day, which comes to us through the ear and, enters the heart and affects us in terms of building faith. But in order for that to happen, very often the Word's got to pass through the minefield of the mind, because that's Satan's territory, right? So it's like walking through a field that's strewn with landmines. It's risky. I've seen those fields. There are lots of fields today in the world. You'll find them in Israel. And oddly enough, they'll take, whenever they have a field that they know their mine's in, they'll take a herd of cows and they'll put them out and graze. Because when those cows step on a mine, they know where the mines are. And we have a lot of ground beef at the end of that. And as gross as that may sound, that's actually what they do. And it's an extremely dangerous thing to navigate through one of those minefields. And I've seen the fences where they have the signs posted and saying, this is a minefield, do not enter. This is you're entering at your own risk, and you don't want to do that. So I'm saying this because everything we hear passes through the realm where Satan likes to fight. And so there are things we hear, and even though we know they're true, we know that God said them, we know that a prophet repeated them, and they're definitely promises for our time, they have to pass through this dangerous area of our thinking. And very often our thinking is what Satan is trying to affect, and he's trying to mess up because he wants to get us worried about things that really don't count and really don't matter. He's trying to divert us all the time because he doesn't want you to focus on the thing that's going to build faith in your heart. And he does that in a number of different ways. But now, I want to drop a couple of quotes in here for you. And in this message called The End Time, Brother Branham says, now the true wheat's coming up among the weeds and the cockle burrs. And he said, it's been wheat all along. It is wheat. It's not going to turn into wheat. It is wheat all the time. It's just in different stages. And he said, You always talk about how bad the world is and how wicked it is, and that's true. But look how great the church is getting all the time. Let's look at this on the other side, he says. Let's look at how great the church is becoming all the time. How many believe that the bride is becoming stronger and better all the time? Physically, we may not always feel that, right? But nonetheless, God's dealing with the bride continually. And he said, we fail to look at that side. And Jesus said, let them both grow together in the field, the weeds and the tares. He said, when the world's getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder, the church is getting more powerful and powerful all the time. Somebody ought to say amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, excuse me, he said, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. And the winds are blowing. He said, set your sails, move right on into the face of the storm. How many can remember we talked about headwinds before? And when headwinds come your way, you set your sails right into that, because that's your means of propulsion, right? When the headwinds come your way, you just got to learn how to angle your sail, and you can make great progress in the face of a storm. And he says, and what do you care? Who's the captain? He will take care of it. Now don't fear. I'm always there. What do you care? He said, who's the captain? Who's in charge here? Who's the leader here? Who's the one that is most powerful here? Is it the storm, or is it the one that's leading us through the storm? And that's what he's asking here. So even though we have treacherous times around us and things that are happening we don't understand, the economy is being affected, and every one of you are being affected because of the economy. We know it because of the church. I was talking to a brother the other day. He was talking about, the income in their church has dropped significantly. A lot of it is because, hey, we live in a world where there's financial stress now more than what there was, say, a year ago, right? You folks don't need me to convince you of that, right? And then things will happen. Like Tyler and Ashley are dealing with a leaking furnace in their air conditioning unit in their house today, and that's why they're not here and got water in the house. And up to last night, I was pulling sheetrock off the walls in my upstairs hallway because of the water that was coming from the air conditioning unit up there, and just water dripping out of the ceiling. And I was looking at that, and I thought, this is something I don't need right at the moment here. It absolutely is. And I told one of my sons about it, and they said, well, there goes Brother David's vacation. Brother David doesn't take vacations. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about Brother David. Amen. The more I study and the more I look at this, the more I ponder on this, the answer to many of the situations and the pressures and the anxieties and the stresses we feel, the answer is right in front of us. It's before us. It's Jesus put it right up in the front of the gospel. And he said, you take no thought or worry saying, well, what should we eat and what should we drink? And how about this and how about that? What if I fail here? What if I mess up here? His advice is for us, he gives us the right priority. And he says in verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. You don't need to worry about protecting yourself. You don't need to worry about navigating through all of this. You don't need to worry about, will I find the way? You don't need to worry about, will I be ready? You don't need to worry about all of those things here and worrying about accumulating stuff before the world ends here. Seek first the kingdom of God. And he's able then to add everything you have need of in your repertoire, in your arsenal there, so that you have everything that you have need of to go forward. I will tell you, saints of God, I wish I had preached on that earlier. I wish I had seen more of that in the depth of this verse even earlier on, because I think it's a very powerful thing. And we should not underestimate this process of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek that first. Go after that first. Don't go after the girlfriend first. Don't go after the boyfriend first. Don't go after the wealth first. Before you enroll in college, you ought to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Before you come to the age of getting married, you should be seeking first the kingdom of God. Girls, I'll tell you what, you want to find a boy whose world is all about Christ, whose passion is all about Christ. Find a boy who loves the Lord first and most, and you'll find yourself a good husband. Hey, I would tell you what, when a guy makes a girl the answer to all of his problems and all of his joy and all of his expectations, when a guy makes a girl that puts her up on that pedestal, that will fade. You want to find a guy who loves the Lord first and most over everything else? You want to find a girl who loves the Lord more than anybody else and anything else, right? You want to find that first, and you'll find yourself a good spouse. You want to find, you know, rather than, you know, pursue a career artfully by looking at all the statistics and the trends in our society. Let me tell you, you want to seek first the kingdom of God and say, Lord, you direct me and you aim me in the right direction here and allow me to be able to see the path that you want me to take for today and tomorrow. Allow me to do that. I will tell you what, he knows exactly where he's leading us. He knows exactly where you need to be. Come on. He knows exactly how to get you there. And you need to trust him. Your actions need to be characterized by seeking first the kingdom of God. And you're a seeker first and foremost above everything else. Isaiah 41 says, fear thou not, I am with thee. I know this is basic. We've all heard this and heard it over and over. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. And that means anxious, as I've defined before. It means when we're dismayed that we look in dismay. We're looking at things that haven't happened yet. We're looking in, you know, with an anxiousness about it. And what about the economy? And will I get a job? And will I find a mate? And all the rest of it. And God tells Isaiah, don't fear, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee, and I will help thee. Now, I want to just pause for a moment here, because God's ways of helping are not always our ways. Sometimes we see people who have financial distress and we feel like, well, the best thing I can do is give them out of my surplus and write a check and help them out. And sometimes that's exactly what needs to be done. But God has ways of helping us that we don't always see. God has unusual ways of helping us, and I believe that we need to pay attention to how he works. Now, I want you to follow me here now as we go back to Psalm 27, and this is the one of the texts that Brother Branham used here in the rapture sermon. And if you haven't read it, I'd advise you to do it. If, like Brother Trevor said last Sunday, this can be your weekly cue for what to read. It's an excellent sermon if you haven't read it for a while, and even if you did. Brother Branham uses this one verse out of here, verse 5. And David writes, the Lord is my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, in this will I be confident. So this is what David is saying. There's no evidence at all that there's a host encamped against David. There's no evidence at all later on in the chapter where David says, though my mother and father forsake me. There's no evidence that Jesse forsook David at all. But David is expressing something here that I think is appropriate for us here today. That the way he's defeating this sense of anxiousness that he is feeling. And let me tell you, David was under a lot of pressure. He's anointed to be a king. He's anointed already here by Samuel. And he's got a promise that he's going to be the next king. He's not king yet, but he's anointed to be a king upcoming here. And David is running from Saul, and he's out trying to escape. Listen to what I'm telling you now. He's running from Saul. He's moving around here, and he's trying to escape. He's trying to find the path of least stress, the path of least resistance. That's what he's trying to find. And he's trying to figure out, how can I protect myself in this time when I'm not welcome in Israel and I can't just, you know, walk up and take the throne because Saul is still on it, and I have nowhere to turn in Israel because if people see me, they're going to turn me in. And so the best thing I can do is, you know, go over here to Philistia and be with those folks over here where Goliath was from, which is south of where now is present-day Gaza. And so David is over there and he's trying to think this, but in this psalm he writes that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Now he comes to this understanding, and he says that when the wicked, even mine enemies, come up against me to destroy me, he said they stumble and fell because God's watching out for me, and I believe that. And no one host should encamp against me. We have no evidence that there was a trouble against David. But what he's telling us is that the thing that I desire, the thing that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is not a building. The way David is referring to it here, the house of the Lord is not a place. The house of the Lord is a presence. I said the house of the Lord is a presence. It's a place that I go to be near God. That's what he's saying. And I want to be in his presence. I long for that. I seek after that. And he said, that's the thing I have desired of the Lord, that I may be in his house all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire at his temple. No matter what I have that's gone wrong or could go wrong, like if my parents forsake me or if an enemy comes against me or an army attacks me, no matter what it is, he's making sure that we understand that bad things happen to people in life. Not that you know, like a lot of times you'll tell people, you tell a counselor, you tell your spouse or somebody, you'll say, well, I'm afraid that this might happen and that might happen. And they'll turn around and say, oh, that'll never happen to you. No, that won't happen. And we have no idea whether that's true or not, right? Because sometimes, despite your best efforts and your best wishes, bad things happen to good people. And so David is saying that, I'm not avoiding this, but I know that sometimes bad things happen, but I believe that God is going to watch over me. He is the strength of my life. And of whom shall I be afraid? And that's what he's saying. I've already mentioned this to you before. And so he says, my focus is on him. My focus is to be in his presence, because in his presence, that's where God can communicate good things to me. In his presence, that's where God can deal with my heart. In his presence, that's where I get comfort, and that's where I get inspiration, and that's where I get his leadership, and that's where I get, the answers to the questions that I have. And so my focus is not on trying to figure out how to defeat the army or how to get my parents back. That's not it. My focus is on God. My focus is on his presence. Am I making sense here? And that's what he's telling us is a way to defeat the anxieties in our lives. And then he says, in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. He will hide me in the place of safety. And in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Again, over in Isaiah, he says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. Woe to them that trust in those things. But they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Well, now the Egyptians are men, not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. And when the Lord stretches out his hands, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that is helping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. The question is where you're putting your trust, right? The question is, who are you running to? And that's what I want to focus on this morning here. And David says, in the time of trouble, he's going to hide me in his pavilion. Jonathan told him that when Saul was chasing him. That was our text, right? And he says, David, Saul is after you. My father's after you. And he's instructed all of us to kill you. You need to find a secret place. You need to run to the right place. And Isaiah is cautioning us the same thing. For people that they trust in chariots, they trust in horses, they trust in sizes of armies, and they trust in natural defenses. Don't do that, he says. Don't do that. I want you to trust in the living God. Now, that's obvious. That's simple. That's exactly what he's encouraging them to do. I think we're living in a time where this needs to be brought up again, and we need to be reminded of this again. Because I believe it's a time when we're going to need to have a place of shelter. Now remember now, Saul and David have something in common. They have in common that they were anointed by the same prophet. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. This is David. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I got a question for you. Was David put in the office of a king immediately? No. Absolutely not. We also find that Samuel anointed, same prophet, same oil, he anointed Saul because he was the choice of the people and God allowed it. And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? So this is the beginning of the story, how that Saul is anointed to be king and he begins to reign over Israel. Everything went fine, everything was good until it wasn't good. And Saul obviously made some mistakes there. And God eventually took his hand off Saul and transferred his anointing over and his blessing over to David. Now, the problem is that David now has the blessing of the Lord upon his life, but he's still not king yet. And he's going to go through some things to help him learn. Now, when there's an enemy that's outside and an army that's outside of another nation that comes against David, he can relate to that because he's a man of war. He's got soldiers who are with him, 600 faithful men. The kind of men that if they fell into a pit and there was happened to be a lion in the pit, the soldier would come out victorious. I mean, these were the kind of guys that David hung around with. And they were dedicated to David. David understood battles and he understood warfare and he understood people coming against him. He understood that. I got that. And these are enemies that are people who were against Israel, other nations. But the thing that David struggles with and the thing that David learns most from are the battles that happen within. And this is where it gets interesting. Because it's one thing to have an enemy outside, like the people in Rwanda who have a government that's changing their laws. It's a different thing, though, to have people within the message community who are fighting you. And if you're not careful and you don't look at it correctly, we can become confused by that whole thing and wonder, where is God in it all? So this is something I think that's worth talking about. Because now, as we know, Saul here, he aims his javelin at David, and he wants to destroy him. Why? Because he's trying to preserve his own kingdom, his own throne. He's trying to take this into his own hands, and he says, my goodness, they're out there singing that David has, Saul has killed his hundreds, but thousands, and David has killed his 10,000s here. And Saul, says to himself, what's next? My throne, the kingdom? And so he begins to vent his anger and vent his frustration against David. Now, again, this is not an outsider, but this is someone within.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what? It's a shame when that happens. I said, it's a shame when that happens, when people who believe the same message and supposedly are moving in the same direction, believe in the same prophet, believe in the same message. Is anybody out here this morning?
Yeah.
And they're fighting one another. Hey, we should be the people who are supporting one another. And we should be the people that are putting, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder together, saying we have a common enemy, and the enemy is not you.
Amen.
The enemy is our enemy, and we need to identify that enemy. But we should not be having those struggles within internally and within, among ourselves. I believe we should be supporting ourselves because we all know how difficult, we all know how challenging it is to stand for this message and in this day. And then if you have an overriding situation like the people in Rwanda or the people in Uzbekistan over there, and the laws mandating now, they're limited as to what they can do. And you can see that there's an increasing squeeze in our time that we're all feeling, the economic squeeze and the changes in the economy and all the rest of it, education, all the other realms of life. It's all kind of coming to a climax, And here we are right in the middle of that, and we're singing, hey, I'm one of them. We're marching forward, unafraid of the future here, and pressing to the point where our bodies are going to be changed. Hallelujah! Our bodies are going to be changed. And it's a shame that people who walking with the same message books in their hand would criticize you for the stand you take. And here is David now learning, David going through all of this stuff that's happening in the kingdom here. And he comes to this conclusion. He says, I'm going to run. Where I'm going to run is over to the Philistines. Imagine now running to the enemy. This is what David is doing. He's running to the enemy. If you have your Bible, open it again. Flip it open here to 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. And David says in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. You know what? He's going to get me. He's forgetting this one basic truth, that if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? And he's still got that human element. Come on, folks, and don't think that David's got a problem here. Every one of us feel things like this, right? Every one of us go through things like this. David is every man here. David is every man who feels these kinds of things. And he's saying, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me anymore in the coast of Israel, and so will I escape. So what's not here is God telling David, run to this place or run to that place. David is figuring out, I'm going to run to this place myself. And this is how I've got it figured out, that I'm going to do this. So he takes his 600 men and off he goes over to Gath. He was actually in Gath for 1 year and 4 months. He's there 1 year and 4 months trying to live, and he turns out to be a great warrior on behalf of the Philistines. He's out defeating armies and different enemies that the Philistines have. They love him. They think it's great. This is the kind of guy we want to have. Like, can we give this guy a bonus? This is really good. And the Philistines are impressed with this, number one, because they didn't turn around and destroy the Philistines from within, but they're actually working on our behalf. But here's what's going on. In verse 4, and it was told Saul that David fled to Gath, and he sought no more after him. When Saul found out that David was now left the country and over with the Philistines, Saul went home. And you know why? Because you do not need to consider a defeated Christian a threat anymore. When a Christian gets defeated to the point where he leaves the country, and David is so afraid of Saul, and he's thinking the wrong way, and he leaves the country, Saul says, I don't need to go after him. He's defeated anyway. If he's left the country, he's defeated. Because a real Jew doesn't leave the country. A real Jew stays in the country. Come on, folks. We know what the land, the borders of Israel actually represent. They represent the promised land for a Jew, right? They're blessed when they're inside the borders of the country. And in the same way, we're blessed when we're inside. We're living inside the borders of the revealed word of the hour. That's our Israel. That's our land. And when a Christian gets outside of the borders, you don't need to worry about chasing him. That man is going through all kinds of things in his own mind. He's backslidden. He's beating himself up. You don't need to chase him. He's doing a good enough job himself. And so Saul says, I'll go home. I don't need to pursue him. I'll go home. And so then it says, David in verse 6 here, David asked Achish in verse 5, he said, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, give me a place in some town or this country. Give me a home somewhere that I can live in and bring my family. And he says, hey, no problem. I'll give you Ziklag. And we know the stories that are associated with Ziklag. And David takes his men and he goes and lives there. And it says in verse 12, and Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, and therefore he shall be my servant forever. Now all of a sudden you have a king who's not a godly king, but he's making another plan for David. He's going to be my servant now. He's going to work for me, and he's going to do this for me. So this is the opposite of what God wants. God wants to be his Lord. God wants to be his director. Come on. In the same way that God wants you to be led by the Spirit. God wants you to be led by the presence of God. That's exactly what he wants you to experience. And here's Satan over here making plans for you and saying, well, you could do this and you could do that. You know what David did? He ran to the wrong place. He's got to learn to run to the right place. That's exactly what he's got to do. He's got to run to the right place. Guys, here's permission to drink this, okay? It'll help. Go ahead. he's got this idea that the only way I'm going to make it is I take this matter into my own hands and I run in the direction that I want to go. And he's absolutely incorrect. Read with me here, chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare, to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. So now it comes to the crunch. Because now he's got a battle planned. Achish has got a battle planned, but it's against Israel. So now David's going to have to lift his sword against his own people. Now he's probably got cousins. And he's probably got neighbors. And relatives who were in the army there, because all Israel was assembled together, and Saul was standing on the hill looking out at the great armies of the Philistines, and he's looking out and saying, my goodness, we're sunk. Absolutely no way can we handle this here. And he's looking at the multitude of soldiers, and now David is on the other side of that skirmish. David's on the other side of the battlefield, and he's got his sword in his hand, and Achish is telling him, I want you to go against Israel with me. Now let me tell you something. I'm glad that God watches over us even in the difficult times. Amen. And you got to understand how low David is, right? Because he's outside the land. He knows that's not right. He's actually working for an enemy of Israel, right? He's working for an army that's hostile to Israel. And that's where he feels like I'm safest, is in the hands of an enemy king. And you gotta appreciate how low David actually is. He's pretty much rock bottom here. Right. And besides that, Saul took his first wife and gave him away to another son of Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 27, David dwelt with Achish at Gath, and he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives. David has two wives here. One of them is Ahinoam, and the second one is Abigail. Where's Michal? Remember he got Michal as a reward for killing Goliath? Remember that? He got the daughter of the king, so he's a son-in-law to Saul by marrying Michal after the death of Goliath. But now he flees to this place here with only his two wives. And David said unto Achish, verse 5, if I have found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town and country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And again in 2 Samuel, and David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I have espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. So David's wife is gone and given to another man to marry because Saul hates him so much. So he's got, let me tell you, he's outside the land of Israel. He's even got the devil hating him. That's pretty bad when the devil hates you. And he's got God's people here who are not cooperating with him. I mean, it seems like David's got everything stacked against him here. And this is not a pleasant place to be. And his idea is that I got to run somewhere. I got to get out of this. I got to get out of the heat. And he runs out to the land of the enemy. Now, let me say this, that there are times in all of our lives where we feel like it's overwhelming and you got to run. And people will sometimes have trouble coping with the message. They have trouble coping with the people in the message. They have trouble coping with life in general. And they'll run to something. Some people will run to a bar. Some people will run to their phone. And they'll live in their phone. Don't tell me people don't live in their phone. They do live in their phones. The whole world is in their phone. And they'll run to some other occupation. They'll run to sports, or they'll run to work, or they'll run to something else. And the reason they're running is because they know something is pursuing them, and this is the easiest path for me. And in their own thinking, this is what I feel is going to be the best for now, until I sort it all out and I get it all figured out. And I will tell you that this thing, that we as a people, we have to learn like David did, that there are times when you need to run, like Jonathan told David, Saul's trying to kill you, so you better find yourself a safe place. And in that case, it's good for him to go. But we have to learn to run to the right place. Because you can run to the wrong place. And it's important for us to run to the right place. Stay with me in chapter 28 here, and in 1 Samuel. Verse 3 says, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even his own city. And Saul had put away all those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So Saul had rid all the horoscope, the witches and the fortune tellers and the palm readers, and they were all run out of the country. There was nobody left here. But now, because this massive army had gathered together against Saul, verse 4, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel. Verse 5, and Saul saw the host of the Philistines. He was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Man, we what are we supposed to do? But here's the frustrating thing. Because God had left Saul, Saul is praying, trying to find God, trying to find an answer, and nobody's answering. He doesn't know what to do. He's not getting an answer from everybody. And the Bible just tells us that Samuel is dead. So he doesn't have a prophet to go to. He doesn't have David because he ran him off. He doesn't have communion with God because God's cut him off and he has nowhere to run. So you know what he does? He runs to the wrong place and he finds himself a witch. And this is where, in the rest of this chapter, this is his experience with the witch of Endor. Now, all of these witches have been run out of the country or been killed, and they're not allowed to practice witchcraft, fortune-telling in the land of Israel, right? They're gone. And Saul says to one of his servants, he says, hey, ask around and find who's still around doing that kind of thing. And so Saul disguises himself. You know the story, but I'm going to tell you anyway. He disguises himself and goes and finds this witch, and he begins to talk to her. And she says, hey, what do you think you're doing, putting me in trouble? If I tell your fortune here, my goodness, I'm going to be arrested and so on. Saul says, hey, sister, don't worry. It's going to be all right. Just do what I'm asking you to do here. And so she says, all right, lock the doors. And so she begins to conjure up these spirits in that other world, right? And now all of a sudden, here's Samuel. Then she stops and looks at Saul and says, you deceiver. You're actually King Saul. And now you've tricked me, so now I'm going to be arrested. And he says, look, sister, it's all right. I just need to have an answer. And what's happening here? Saul all of a sudden bumps into the supernatural realm. Now he's in another realm. You say, how is that possible? It's possible because the blood of Jesus Christ was not shed yet. Because when the blood of Christ was shed, that prevented people then and today from going into that realm like the witch did. The blood of Jesus Christ is a barrier. And so you can't do what happened here in this chapter. You can't do that now because of the blood of Christ. And so now here's the witch, and she's looking at this, and she says, Saul says, who do you see? I see a man coming up. What's he wearing? He's wearing a mantle. Great, he's still a prophet. Saul says he's still a prophet. Great. Now ask him this question. What will happen tomorrow in the battle? And Samuel says, you'll be like me. He says, you'll be over here, in this dimension over here. In other words, you're going to lose your life. And this is exactly what takes place. And Saul dies the next day in battle. But Saul doesn't realize that there's a supernatural realm that now he's tapped into. And when you get into that realm, listen to me, when you get into that realm, now you don't have control. Now there are forces at work that are more powerful than you. And in that realm, it doesn't matter whether you're a king or a pauper. It doesn't matter whether you're a prophet or a layman. In that realm, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. When you're in that realm, now truth comes out. And I will tell you this, saints of God, you may have thoughts of running away. You may have thoughts of saying, well, I don't need to follow the message anymore. Tell you, as soon as, if you're a child of God, eventually you'll come in contact with that supernatural realm. And in that realm, it's more powerful than you. And God knows exactly how to flip your world upside down and bring you back, because God's only going to tell you the truth. And you know it's God because he's going to tell you the truth and it's going to come to pass. Amen. We can play around in this realm and we think we can hide and we can do things, but from the supernatural realm, God is watching everything that we do. And God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what's going on in your heart. And God knows all of those things there. But let me tell you now what's happening. Again, another aspect of this is that David is over here. Saul doesn't know it, but David's over here on the other side of the battlefield looking at Israel, sweating bullets here, because God is still training David to learn how to do the right thing. And the one thing Brother Branham said that David had to learn in all those years in the wilderness and Saul chasing him, the one thing that he had to learn was touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And David is sweating bullets because what about if I cross the battlefield and he says, I run into Saul or I run into Jonathan and they're the anointed of the Lord. What if I run into them? Am I supposed to kill them then? I'd be touching one of God's anointed. And he knows this is not the right place. He made the decision. He got a year and 4 months of relative peace. But now, what am I supposed to do now? He's in this place. And I will guarantee you that God knows how to bring you to that place where now you got to make a decision. So what happens? I'll tell you what happens briefly without going through all the scripture here. The lords of the Philistines, who are actually like five mayors of cities, Asher and Gath and so on, they're five powerful men. They came to the king Achish and they said, hey, we don't want these Israelites out on this battlefield because they're going to be fighting against Israel and we don't want them out there. Send them somewhere else. We're not going to have them on our side. And I believe that was supernaturally done by God so that David would be exempt from that battle. And I believe when David heard the news, you guys are not welcome, you got to go home. David probably said, thank you, Lord, for getting me out of this spot. Because if he didn't fight, he probably would have been executed. If he did fight, he would be in a whole lot of trouble. He's got no way out of this situation now. The thing he was running from catches up to him. And he's got nowhere to turn. And God intervenes and takes those five lords of the Philistines and has them in 100% agreement say, send David back. We don't want to go on the battlefield with him at all. Send him back. So what's David learning? All the time David is learning that I'm not in control. God's in control. And I don't need to worry about any of this other stuff. God's in control. I just need to make sure. Listen, I need to make sure that when I run to Him and not anybody else. I need to run to Christ. I need to run to that safety place. I need to run to that secret place with God and get alone there and then watch what God does on my behalf. He hasn't quite learned it yet, but he's learning this whole process here. Because I'll tell you something else. God is actually interested in training every one of us to rule and reign in this earth and in the millennium. How many know that we'll sit with him in his throne in the millennium? And we'll be ruling and reigning. Now, I'll tell you this, saints of God, that God is not going to have a school open up over there in the millennium and you attend every day for 5 hours and do your lessons and do your homework. That's not the way God is going to train us to rule and reign in the millennium. You know where he's doing it? He's doing it right here, right now. And that's why we're going through the hardships and the struggles and the pressures that we face. That's exactly what God is doing, is preparing us and molding us and shaping us to manifest his righteousness. Because that's what we're going to do in the millennium. How many know that death does not change you? It only changes your dwelling place. Death does not change you. It only changes your dwelling place. And so therefore, if I'm a righteous character here, I'll be a righteous character over there. If I love the Lord over here, I'll love the Lord over there. If I believe His word here, I'll believe His word over there. Absolutely. Because death doesn't turn you into something else. Or as Brother Bram said in his Shalom message, when you die, God doesn't take a key and turn it and click, you're a believer now over in heaven. That's not what God does. The proving ground is right here. The testing is right here. The training is right here. That's exactly what God is doing. And I will also add this little part here, I might as well, that God is not interested in protecting gifts because people are gifted. Saul has a gift. He's anointed by a prophet, right? He's anointed to be a king. He's got something going for him. But God is not a respecter of persons because he's anointed to be a king. Because you can mess up when you're anointed to be a king. That's why in our world today, you hear about singers and musicians who are incredibly wealthy and popular and have influence in our world. And they get by with everything. I mean, they get by with, you know, breaking the law. They get by with all kinds of wrongdoing because they're famous and they're rich and they're popular, right? I mean, I sometimes when I'm studying or, you know, even times when I'm in my shop and I'm working and, you know, I got all kinds of things going and all kinds of things happening. Sometimes I'll just take some Christian music, instrumental Christian music. It's very simple. I got a few favorites, and I'll just play it in the background. And I look at the number of hits on that particular. I think, oh, that's really nice. You know, it calms my spirit. I'm like David playing harp, you know. And I look at the number of hits, and it might be 1,450 hits on this particular type of music. And maybe you get another one that's 829 hits on that music. It's really good. And then, you know, on the sidebar over here, you have a list of singers and, you know, some I don't know the singers, and I'm really glad I don't know the singers. But, you know, you see their songs are listed there, 48,872,629. And that's the number of hits that they've got on this particular song. This, I mean, it's astronomical. It's unbelievable. And because they have such popularity and they have wealth and they have influence and they know people and people are always trying to get favors from them, they're, you know, people make allowances for them, right? And they're making a way for somebody because they have this gift. But I want you to know that God doesn't make a way just because you have a gift. You can sing like a bird. You can play piano like the famous piano players, and you can have lots of gifts and talents in your life. But when you get outside of the Word and you get outside of the law, God's not going to protect that. You know what happened to Saul? He died in his chariot.